Welcome back to another episode of Living Fullness. We are so grateful that you're here and hopefully you've been enjoying the previous episodes.
Hi, everyone.
And hopefully you get something useful out of this episode too.
We hope so. Yeah.
How are you today, Padre?
Going well. Going well. I'm surviving. The students have all done their exams and they're all about to go out on pastoral placement, and all of my students passed their exams as well.
Which is yay.
So
bonus.
Yes, definite bonus there. Some of them came close to close to the below 50 mark, but they all got over it though. Okay. So if you're listening, students, well done. Yeah.
Good job.
And yourself?
Yeah, I'm well. I caught up with someone for lunch before we started podcasting today, which was super lovely, and then we got rained on like something crazy. So we tried to sort of wriggle our way in under the covers as fast as we could. But yeah, no, I'm doing really well.
Cool. Very nice.
So this week we are continuing the conversation on the natural progression of a relationship. In the past episodes, we started talking about acquaintance and moving from acquaintance to friendship. Then we talked about the five key elements that are necessary for any healthy relationship to move forward. And now we're continuing that conversation around natural progression of a relationship and talking about close friends.
Yeah.
So moving from a level of friendship of those types of friendships that we've talked about before around utility and pleasure. And now we're talking about where does it then go? Where can it then go from here?
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry,
that's okay.
I'm what you call lost, people. That's just in layman's terms, lost.
It's been a big day for you. Before we started podcasting, Padre's phone was going off like something shocking. So I know that he's had a very, very busy day, so that's okay. We're only human. But yes, so we are going to talk about close friends today, and because of the formula that we've used with moving forward, having trust, honesty, time, virtue, and God, I think it's fairly obvious and fairly clear for us to say that because there are those five things involved and those five things need to be involved, we can't have too many close friends because we just can't invest in all of those things adequately if we have too many people that we consider our close friends.
Sure.
So something I found a long time ago that is called the circle of influence. Mm-hmm. So the COI, which essentially is the most closest people around you. These are the people that are in your sort of inner circle, if you like. And there's that saying that says, you know, you become like the five most closest people that you hang out with and spend time with and get to know. It's a similar kind of concept in that. Mm. So it's sort of that these are the people that you spend the most amount of time with and you invest the most amount of energy in.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that's the close friends that we're talking about.
Sure.
When we talk about friends and when we say close friends, this is what we mean.
Yep. Yep. Cool.
So how else do we differentiate, Padre, between friends and close friends?
Well, I guess there are no neat boxes.
Yeah.
You know, you would say it's more like a spectrum. You know, I joke with the first years in our human formation classes that men's brains are like rooms that have a room that has boxes in it, you know, and there's a box for this and a box for that and a box for this, and that, you know, the boxes don't touch, you know, and it's not like that, you know, it's not so neat as to say that you can box these two things, these, you know, friends and close friends. It is more like a spectrum, and that's the beauty of human relationships, is that they can't be boxed or categorized. Human relationships are complex, but to say that they're complex does not mean that they make us go into realms of confusion or gray areas.
No.
Like it's complex in the sense that that they're not boxable, right, in the sense that they don't often fit into one neat box. But that doesn't mean that we're in the grey area of not knowing if we're friends or if we're something more.
Yeah,
friends,
right.
Or if we're not friends. Like it's
that's so important.
Exactly. It's just saying that there's not one person who's just consistently boxed in this thing of they are only a friend. You know, it's if relationships are living things, then there's the possibility always of growth, which means that they're not in a box or on a spectrum.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Definitely. That's such an important point. Definitely.
Okay. So, obviously some relationships, some friendships are moving closer together, some friendships are moving further apart, and that's the nature of human living and life. So perhaps we could go to a spectrum. There's a very lengthy S, wasn't it? It really was a spectrum of friends and close friends, and look at how that those five
key elements
of growth in a friendship apply to friends and close friends.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okie dokie.
Let's start with trust, hey?
All right, very good. So when it comes to friends, sharing things that excite us, sharing some of our hopes and dreams and some of our needs for prayer. Like, you know, if you've got a friend, then you will trust that person with some things that matter to you. Mm. And you may even trust them with certain tasks, with certain things that things that have to get done that you're not able to do. You may actually trust that to a friend.
Mm.
Yeah,
and they could be very simple things, right?
Yeah. They don't need to be
very
like
basic
gigantic
things. No, it could be, I don't know, you're heading in two different ways. Oh, you're driving by the post office. Do you mind just dropping that in the mailbox for me?
Exactly.
Like
a simple request. And I think it is important to say that friends do have a right to expect, and we have a right to expect of our friends that there is a certain amount of sharing that goes on, that there is a certain amount of personal investment, as it were, that occurs. It's just always a matter of how much is appropriate, given what the relationship is, as we've spoken about in earlier podcasts.
Definitely. Whereas I guess where it differs slightly for close friends, you know, the same kind of things apply, in that there might be some shared hopes and dreams that are expressed of what's going on, but there's a deeper level. There might be some fears that are shared that might not be with people who aren't close friends. There could also be requests for certain prayers that are quite personal, and it's really that sharing of the heart, really, of what's going on internally. And in terms of those tasks that we trust people with, you know, there's more complicated tasks that we might trust someone with than what we would with any other ordinary friend, precisely because they've proven themselves worthy of that trust, because it's been built over time. In those previous episodes where we talked about trust and we talked about braving, you know, all those components are there because they've been tried and tested.
Definitely.
And so therefore we do expect more from them.
Absolutely. I was watching a video yesterday from Simon Carrington.
Shout out to Fire Up Ministries. You guys rock.
You've done good. It was awesome work.
Yeah.
Simon was talking about this very thing, right? That sometimes people form these close bonds and they invest so much so fast that it actually winds up frightening one of them off.
Yeah.
So it's important that growth has actually taken place.
Definitely. So it doesn't become an oversharing that looks more like a dumping of information upon someone else.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's not fair at all.
No, that's it.
Honesty.
Integrity marks the relationship. You know, and I think that's true of any relationship, is that integrity has to mark it. We're able to share how we feel about important issues in the world. We're able to share some personal things, and we expect a level of honesty in return. You know, and I think fraternal correction does exist in this relationship, in the relationship of friends. With my first year students, when we talk about fraternal correction, I emphasize to them that fraternal correction is always done rarely privately and charitably. You know, so you don't go around correcting people left, right, and center for tying their shoelaces the wrong way, you know, or that sort of thing. You know, and you do it privately, so never in front of anybody else, and you do it always and above all with charity, with the best, with the person's good in mind. Mm. So I think that in terms of honesty, being able to say to somebody, "Hey, what just happened here, or what I just saw you do there, that wasn't good," you know, and. But the way in which that happens, though, I think will differ from a friend to a close friend.
Yeah.
That won't be the same. So, you know, if I'm with a friend, someone who is not a close friend, but with a friend, I need to ask questions like, given the nature of whatever it is that I'm correcting the person on, am I the right person to do this?
Right.
Is there enough trust here, and is there enough of a deep relationship that I am the person to say to this person, "Hey, this is not good," and also it requires perhaps a more measured manner of approach, yeah, than what we would ordinarily give in the case of, say, a close friend.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And when we're talking about fraternal correction here, we're not talking, you know, I don't know, "Oh, whoops, I just saw someone park over the line. I'll just walk over there and tell them, oh, you're parked over the line." We're talking about things that are a bit more sensitive,
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
So it's not just a simple error that we've observed that can be rectified there and then.
Yeah.
This is much closer to behavior and to character than that.
Yes.
And I think that's precisely why sometimes it doesn't fit for friends to do that. It actually does fit within close friends, because as a close friend, you know your friend a lot deeper and a lot better, and you know who they are and what their character is. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you are in a better position to understand them,
yep,
and charitably approach what, yep, error has occurred and for what, sure, needs correcting.
For sure.
But there's also a level of transparency,
mm,
between close friends as well, because there is a deeper knowledge of the other. And because of that, you almost get this sense of being aware of their train of thought and what their emotional well-being and mental health and state is like, just because you know them at a much deeper level than, sure, what any other friend might be. And precisely because of that too, there is an expectation that honesty need be present, because of that transparency that has been there in the past. Mm-hmm. You expect that honesty to continue in, yeah, order, sure, for that close friendship to remain the, yeah, way it is.
Yeah, definitely.
And as we've said with fraternal correction, you can be, you know, in a way, a little bit more blunt,
yeah,
with close friends, because that trust has been built. Not, that doesn't mean that we'd be uncharitable. We still always find the most generous and most charitable option,
mm,
in terms of approaching someone when it comes to any form of correction.
Yes, yes.
But we can afford to be a bit more straightforward,
yeah,
than what we would with someone that we don't know as well.
For sure.
So I guess when I think about, you know, my COI, my circle of influence, you know, you're one of those people that are in my COI, Padre, and you know me well enough to know what I might be thinking when certain topics might come up, or just how I am generally, because you know me well enough now,
yep,
to know how I would present if I was upset or if I was stressed or if I was anxious, or,
sure,
despite how much I might be trying not to show that.
Sure.
You know me well enough to know that. And that's because we have had a level of honesty that's been built over a period of time.
Mm.
And it also, it means that you can anticipate what a response might look like if I was okay, and if it doesn't fall within that, then you know that
something's off,
something's not right. It also means that I can't get out of stuff, so I'm trying to wriggle my way out of stuff. It ain't gonna work.
Fair enough. Yes.
Which is not a bad thing when, yeah, it comes to close friends who actually have your goodness at heart.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. No, look, similarly, that's you know, when I think about times that you have pulled me up on a couple of things in terms of fraternal correction, it's always been done with respect and care. But it's always been sort of specific and clear. I've never not known what you mean. I may have chosen to ignore it, so, but I've never not known what you're talking about. You know, it's very, very clear. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right. So bring us the time. T-I-M-E, time. I don't know why I spelled it out for, but anyway, here we are. friends, we enjoy spending time with them. You know, we're open to the possibility of spending more time with them. We realize that we are not burdens to our friends and they are not burdens to us. We actually enjoy spending time with one another. And there's a certain expectation that this will continue, providing that there are circumstances which allow for the friendship to continue to exist. And obviously there's some level of frequency required for that as well. You know, you actually got to meet, you know, pick a time and meet.
Mm.
I mean, time is when it comes to friends, you know, we do enjoy spending time with them, but quantity matters as well as quality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's because the often with when you're not dealing with close friends, you're dealing with friends. What binds us is more or less the circumstances, rather than a deeper friendship, where there is a goodness that binds us. So, if the friendship is to continue, often it will require a certain quantity of time to be spent, as well as being of genuine good quality.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Whereas for close friends, time isn't too big of an issue if it's not as frequent.
Mm.
Time is important. You still need to be able to meet up and still be able to catch up and talk and do things together and so on. But it's okay. These close friendships don't dwindle if a period of time has gone. Yeah. Where you haven't been able to do that because of circumstances.
Yeah.
It'd be different if it was because of choice, you know, if you had a close friend with someone and they simply didn't want to spend any time with you, well, that relationship might change.
Different story altogether.
That might change. But where circumstances have made it so that you can't spend time together and a period of time has lapsed, we often find that close friends can just pick up where things were left off and continue with that without too much damage done, any damage done. Close friends are generally also something deeper. There's generally something much deeper than the circumstances that actually binds those people together. Yeah. And like you've said, goodness being that which binds those close friends.
Yeah.
And so I guess one of the ways I think about that for Christians, for us, you know, it's very much for us, if we are in friendships where Christ is the mutual bond between two people, then we meet someone else who is friends with our BFF, who might be Christ, and we get to know that person and we become friends with that person, and then we don't see them for an extended period of time. When we've been in a close relationship with Christ and Christ is that mutual bond, it doesn't matter how long that time frame has been where we haven't seen this other person, because when we do meet up with them, because we've been in such close relationship with Christ and he is present in that re-meeting and re-encountering, things are so much easier when you're in the presence of your BFF. So it sort of doesn't matter if you haven't had the time to meet up with this other person, because you've got that mutual bond that is still present and has been present during that friendship.
Baptism actually does make a difference in friendships, relationships, and brotherhood. You know, it's on the Christian sphere, often what happens is that friendship is overly if we take the Christian life to be sort of a cross shape, you know, to be a sort of with a vertical axis and a horizontal axis, which saying it out loud, that's what a cross is. You know, if we take it to have these two axes, and the horizontal axis represents our relationship with one another, and the vertical axis represents our relationship with God, both of them are necessary in the Christian life. One without the other does not represent the complete Christian life, you know. And so too for friendship. You know, if it's just the horizontal dimension, it's not something that has a supernatural assurance, I suppose, of lasting beyond the circumstances. Whereas when a friendship is founded in Christ, it's founded on both axes. You know, it's joined to Christ, as it were. It's the horizontal and the vertical are joined together, and there is a certain supernatural sort of a guarantee, as it were, or warranty, or you know, there is a certain supernatural power that is breathed, or life that is breathed into this friendship, allowing it to persevere over a period of time. All right, well, that takes us to virtue. And you know, there are certain levels of expectation, you know, loyalty and respect. You know, you expect that whoever you're friends with is not going to cause you harm.
Yeah, I hope.
that would be, and that you know, although the good of the other may not necessarily be the sort of the end game as such, like, you know, say in a friendship of use or pleasure, it's not the same as goodness. There's still this sense of you know, wanting to be genuine and to be kind and to be you know, someone of good character with this other person, so you know, no harm being done, and recognizing that we actually have a responsibility to treat the other person well, right? So friends are, in a certain sense, are responsible for each other to a degree. And that's one of the most important aspects of virtue. You know, it's you were talking about freedom in the last episode, that, you know, freedom is so important, and John Paul II makes this point that man is free, but for him to be truly free, he must also say that he is responsible.
Yes.
You know, so there must be a certain level of responsibility for the other there as well.
Definitely. Whereas with close friends, there's almost like a simplicity when it comes to virtue, because you do have a greater awareness of the other, of your friend. You know your friend, and because you know your friend, you're able to tell in what ways you can best serve your friend.
Mm.
And so making choices, the most virtuous decision and most virtuous choice for your friend in terms of how you interact with them or how you serve them, how you love them, it almost becomes easier because you've actually practiced doing that all along.
Yep.
That's part of what it means to be a close friend to someone, is having gone through braving, having gone through and built up those five key elements of a relationship. You've practiced putting the best for the other first.
Yeah.
So it almost becomes simpler as you become closer friends. Things are just, things are a bit easier and a little bit simpler to get along.
Yeah. That sounds very sensible. And that's, you know, the whole notion of virtue is that when I'm faced with a choice, I choose what is good, and I delight in that good, and I actually want to choose that good.
Yeah.
So that even when it's a little bit difficult, I know what it is that's going to bring me delight, and it's not the wrong choice. It's the good choice.
Yeah, you
know?
Absolutely.
So I think you're right. There is a degree of simplicity that sits here, precisely because virtue actually, when it's being built, it makes things freer. It makes things simpler.
Yeah. The hard yards have already been done, so you know, or are being done, and so it becomes easier to over just time. Be.
Yeah. Yep, and that ease is constantly growing.
Yeah,
it's true enough, because none of us have the virtues in the fullness. Mm. You know, only Christ possesses the virtues in full. Mm. But we can say that that we are, you know, we're always growing in virtue. And that sometimes it will be difficult to make a virtuous decision. Sometimes we'll be tempted in one way or another against a virtuous choice. But we have become accustomed to the choice of virtue, that although there is a temptation to pick what is not virtuous, that temptation is not as attractive to us as is the decision for goodness.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Love it.
Yeah. All right.
So that brings us to the fifth and final element.
God.
God.
God. Marvellous. All right. For friends, you know, obviously, as we've already said, praying for one another and especially intentions that we ask to be prayed for. There can be a level of praying together, like in the youth group. You know, God can be, in fact, the commonality on which a friendship is built, you know, which is it's really awesome.
Mm.
There's also a level of it needs to be said that there is a level of vulnerability that is appropriate with a friend, but then there is also a level of vulnerability that is not appropriate for a friend. And we were speaking about that before when we were talking about Simon Carrington's thing, you know, that in fact, sometimes we overshare, and it's kind of more or less it's not a sharing which is good for both people of the friendship. You know, it may be good for me to get something off my chest, but in the end, it's not actually going to be something which is in any way aiding the friendship or has the good of the other in mind either. Mm. So there does have to be vulnerability. But we must be cautious of what kind of vulnerability that we exercise.
And we talked about this in a previous podcast. We talked about vulnerability needs to be, we need to ask that question, you know, who, me sharing this information, who does that actually serve?
Yeah.
Is that in the best interest of my friend, or is it for my own personal gain? What Absolutely. Am I gaining from sharing this, if that's the case?
Absolutely.
And should it then be shared?
Yep, that's it. That's it. Prayer is the heart talking to heart, which was Cardinal John Henry Newman's motto. You know, heart speaks to heart. That was his definition of prayer, and the heart of man speaking to the heart of God, and that's quite intimate, and it's not always meant for other people's ears.
Mm.
Sometimes it's meant for us and the Lord. You know, unless we're saintly and our spiritual director is saying you have to share this with other people, often it's better to sort of keep some of these things private and between us and the Lord and perhaps our spiritual director.
Mm. Definitely.
Good friends.
Yeah, so for close friends, there's an element of, when it comes to God, there should definitely be an element of praying for each other.
Mm.
There definitely needs to be, and praying with each other.
Yeah.
Like that, that is something, and I'm not talking about, you know, a prayer before a meal. Like I'm talking actually praying together, carving time to pray together.
Yeah.
And doing that frequently. Like that there shouldn't be, if you're really close friends with someone and you truly believe God is in the midst of that friendship, then why can't the three of you converse?
Yeah.
You know, able to do that. Mm. And also, when it comes to close friendships and when it comes to God, you sort of get to a point where you start not seeing yourselves as separate parties almost. Mm. It's almost like you're with God and in God when it comes to close friends.
Sure.
Which is quite beautiful.
Yeah, and definitely.
And it doesn't happen with everyone.
No, that's right. And it doesn't have to.
No.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to also praying for the other, you know, also asking God to bless the other person with whatever they might need. So not just in times of trouble and suffering, but also wanting good things and wanting goodness and joy and peace and praying for the other in that sense too.
Yeah, sure.
When it comes to vulnerability, yes, there is a greater sense of vulnerability in close friendships.
Yeah.
And there might be some things that are shared prayers that might be appropriate within close friendships. And, you know, in the sense that you might be able to say to someone, hey, this thing is troubling me right now. Would you pray about this particular thing?
Mm.
You might even be able to say, this thing is troubling me right now, and here is where I think I am placed spiritually right now, and I need to work on this thing. Would you pray about that? That might be appropriate for close friends to know, but it's probably not appropriate for every friend.
Yeah, for sure.
To know about that. So
for sure.
It takes a bit of discernment there to be able to
definitely
to be able to work through that.
Mm. Mm. All right. Well, this takes us to the so-called BFF.
The best friend. Forever.
Yes, forever.
And ever and ever.
Tell us about the BFF.
Okay. Look, I have a slight issue with the BFF, and the only issue that I really have with it is the notion that there is one person out there who is going to be my BFF for life, and I'm going to meet them in kindergarten. There's just this pressure that we put on young people as children. You know, one of the first questions what we ask a kindergartner when they come home, did you make any friends today? Why is it not okay to just say, hey, did you play with some people today? Did you meet some people today? It's an innocent question, I know, but we do have a tendency to expect people to have this one person at any point in their life who is their BFF. And actually, in reality, it's okay to have multiple people throughout your life. So you might have someone for a particular season who is your best friend for life. And when I talk about this best friend, I'm talking there's one person out of your close friends, so your circle of influence, there's one person out of that, or maybe two, but not many, but one or two people out of that who you are even closer to than the rest of the people in the circle of influence.
Mm. Mm.
And so it's okay to have one person that you turn to and you're close to at a particular season in your life. But there are also stories of people who have met in primary school or in high school and have remained best friends for an extended period of time. And that's good and great too, but just don't anticipate and expect that this friendship will now last for the rest of your lives as well.
Exactly.
It's okay for that friendship to change. Those long-term friendships are quite rare. But also, you know, things like having a friend at school and then having another friend in your early 20s, then having another best friend maybe in your single years, but then that being someone different again when you're married, and perhaps your spouse becomes your best friend, you know, once you marry. It's okay for that change to happen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think it's also important to say here that men and women can't be best friends.
Unless
they're the spouse.
Yeah.
Then they can. That's okay.
Yeah.
But if not, no.
No.
No. I mean, no. So, just taking our friendship for a moment, not best friends.
Nope.
We're close friends, sure. Mm. Best friends, no.
Ew.
No, not at all. it's our BFFs really need to be outside of marriage, they need to be the same gender.
Yeah.
And that might seem like a like some of you might be just like, what?
But I have a best friend.
Gosh, no! How can this be, man?
Yeah.
I get it. You know, I get that this is it might be a bit of a bold thing to say.
Yeah.
Especially since, as you just said then, you know, if you've got someone who you look at and go, well, this person is my best friend, you know, and there's someone of the opposite sex, how can you say that this isn't?
Yeah,
a BFF thing.
Definitely, yeah.
And
good question.
That is a really good question. I think what tends to happen is that, yes, men and women can become best friends, but it will almost always invariably lead to a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Because there is an intimate level of sharing which is simply not appropriate for two people of the opposite sex who aren't in a committed relationship.
Romantic relationship,
aren't
yeah.
Aren't in a romantic,
yeah.
romantic relationship. You know, there's so in that sense, I tend to think that there is no scope for a man and a woman to be best friends.
Yeah, definitely. And that's not to say that you can't have some incredibly awesome times that could be considered some of your best memories with this other person that you currently consider your best friend. You can have some incredible fun and, you know, yeah. shared experiences, and, you know, you might think, well, I've shared so many awesome experiences with this person. This is the person I hang out with a lot, and
yeah.
you know, and all those things. But when you take those five key elements that we've talked about, when you take those things seriously into consideration and ask yourself, do I have a set of people who are friends? Do I have a set of people who are close friends? And out of those close friends, is this person that I'm currently considering my best friend really my best friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then yeah, I think exactly. there's a, yeah, I think we need to be real with ourselves in asking what's actually going on here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we'll go into this when we tackle male and female friendships head on in future episodes. So give us your questions, because that will be where we will answer them,
yep, definitely.
Quite frankly and quite head on.
Yep,
so
yep.
Send those things in for us.
And be gentle. I know that I've probably upset some people out there by saying that, so be gentle. But it's actually, you know what, don't be gentle.
No, look, if it's on your heart, say
If it's on your heart, do ask it.
Yeah.
Be kind. How's that?
Be charitable.
Be charitable. Be charitable, but don't feel the need to be gentle.
Yeah. No, yeah. Just ask it as is. It's okay. Don't be too worried about how you phrase it or anything like that. Yeah. Just ask it as is. Yeah. We'll take it and we'll run with it if we can. But we'll go into it a bit further then as well.
Cool. Very good.
All right. There's another episode.
Tanskis.
So at this point, we are sort of towards the end of the natural progression of a relationship for friendship.
Yes.
And we will be getting into some interesting topics from here on out, where we'll be relying on the content that we have covered thus far. So that being the natural progression of a relationship and the five key elements required. So make sure you've gone back and have a listen to those, because we'll start talking to them as is.
It's going to be kind of exciting, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's we've got some awesome things lined up.
Yep.
So send us in your questions. Go to Living Fullness Facebook group, put your questions in there, or send us a direct message on either Instagram, or send us a message on Facebook at Virtue Ministry, where you can get in contact with us. Put your comments and your questions under the video on YouTube if you're watching through there, or if you're listening in on your podcast, on the podcast, send us in your questions via one of the ways that I've mentioned so far. If you're someone who is a business owner and would like to partner with us to sponsor the podcast, please get in contact with us through virtueministry.org.au as well.
Please.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right.
TBG.
Truth, beauty, and goodness.
Yes.
Very good. All right. I went last time.
Okay. Today, the rector of the seminary had his birthday.
Oh.
And he's a very good man. He's a very kind man. And I can say this without fear of reprisal because he doesn't listen to podcasts. So if there are any seminarians who are listening to this right now, don't you dare send him the link.
Do it.
But Father Thompson had his birthday today, and it always strikes me what a genuinely humble man he is. Mm. I've seen it. I've been privileged to bear witness to his humility and his the sort of the charitable way that he deals with these men, and it's been wonderful. So it was an occasion just to give a brief expression of thanks for the work that he's done, and he was my rector.
Mm.
He's been rector now going on for 17 years.
Whoa!
And he is, in his own words, ready to retire. Please pray for Father Peter Thompson if you get the chance. Please, that'd be great. And for yourself?
Well, mine for this week was actually when we were preparing for a previous episode that we've done where we were sharing a bit about our backstory and we were talking our way through some of the questions that we might go through. And as we were sort of answering these questions, thinking about, you know, how would you want to approach this? And we took things on two different ways. You sort of had your way you wanted to approach the questions and I had my way, and we were sort of just sharing, oh, well, this is what I'm thinking. These are the types of things I might talk about, or these are the things I might talk about. And even within that, you know, despite the fact that we've known each other for, I don't know how many years now. I've lost
count. Donkey's ages.
Yep. Yeah. However many years it is. There is still a lot that I'm learning about you and the way that you view the world and, you know, the way that you see yourself in the world and which is really awesome. It just goes to show the complexity of a human person. And because we are living, we're always growing. Yeah. So there's always change, which is just, it's just awesome to be able to bear witness to that and to be present for that and to be in friendship with you through that.
Yeah, that is a very awesome observation, and it's very true. You know, we're getting to as friendship continues, you discover, the person is more than what you realize. That you know, as well as you might know a person, there's always something more.
Mm.
Yeah, very good.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Alrighty. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. I know there were some things in there that were a bit bold, so let us know what you think. And until next time, know of our love and prayers.
God bless.